let's repeal this failure.
Political interference a month out hid the problem and buried the information they didn't want seen.
Before it literally kills women.
I would argue that the problems go much further than that.
Kills children.
People who are losing their jobs, who are losing their health care.
Kills senior citizens.
You know, it's been a messy, messy few weeks since the official launch of the Affordable Care Act. I think it's not inaccurate to say that the Obama administration and the Department of Health and Human Services have made it about as easy as possible for opponents of the law to find fault with, poke fun at, and otherwise politicize an initiative that underneath all the rhetoric advances a proposition that few Americans could honestly disagree with. In the richest country in the world, individuals and families should not be deprived access to health care. Or, put it another way, we do not believe that if you're poor, you deserve to have a shorter, sicker life. Somehow managing to rise above what at times must seem like an endless losing battle are faith-inspired leaders like our first guest on this week's show, the Reverend Jennifer Butler. As the founding CEO of the influential nonprofit Faith in Public Life, Jen has worked closely with Sister Simone Campbell, whom all of you know, and others as well, on the contemporary issues that are too often portrayed as political when, in fact, they define who we are, morally and spiritually. Reverend Butler, welcome to State of Belief Radio again.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you would, I'd like you to start by talking about the status of the Affordable Care Act. We've seen a troubled launch of the most visible part, the website, and a judge has agreed to rule on a state-level challenge come February. Opponents continue to hatch new obstacles. Jen, how would you grade where things stand as of this moment?
Well, already 100 million Americans have benefited from the Affordable Care Act. You know, I tell you, nothing can quench my enthusiasm for this law, because we know that this law fixes what was a morally bankrupt healthcare system in this country that did not protect the vulnerable in our society. And right now, faith leaders across the country are working to enroll communities and are really helping to implement this law. And we're very excited about this historic moment.
I was struck by the informal way in which the president spoke in the Rose Garden this past week. His emphasis on the available savings to individuals and families makes some political sense, but I wanted him to do as he's done before and talk about this call for moral engagement. Why do you think we didn't hear there the language of the common good?
Well, the president should be strong on that, and he certainly was when he was working to pass the bill. In fact, faith leaders from across a diverse range of communities, from evangelical to Catholic to Jewish to Muslim to Protestant, all worked to get the president onto a national call-in that had 150,000 participants. And the president really got on the bully pulpit and spoke about the morality of health care reform. I know this president really believes that this is a moral issue for America. And we had a system that prevented people who had pre-existing health conditions from actually having health care coverage. Half of all Americans have pre-existing conditions. It was egregious. So you're right. It is a moral issue, and the president can certainly speak eloquently to that.
Can you point out who in the religious community is so opposed to this legislation?
Well, here's one of the great ironies and hypocrisies, right? The Christian right groups who call themselves pro-family and pro-life and Christian are the very groups that oppose this legislation and oppose now the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. And that's just plain hypocritical. This law will save lives. And if you are pro-life and you want to protect families and protect unborn children and protect children, then you should be for this law. But I should say that many, many evangelicals and many pro-life Catholics supported this legislation and support now the implementation of the Affordable Care Act and are working very hard to make that happen.
The only way that makes sense is to say that the opponents are not treating it as a moral issue so much as a partisan political issue. Is that right?
I would say that they've politicized the issue. I mean, there is nothing pro-life or Christian about taking health care away from families that need it. It's shameful. And I do think that they've gotten sucked into a political agenda. And a lot of the faith community's work has been about dispelling some of the misinformation that they have put out there about this important historic piece of legislation.
Mm-hmm. Whenever there's talk of employers dropping workers to save a few bucks, I can't help but think how unpatriotic as well as immoral that is. And the same goes for so much of the rest of the self-centered language among opponents of this act. There are a lot of people in this country that need to know how to talk about this in defending it. How should they talk about it?
I think it is so important to come out and tell our personal stories. I was talking to my father, and he did not realize at the time that one of his children did not have health care coverage, and they were about to have a child. And I asked him, how much do you think it costs today for a couple to have a baby? He said, well, back in my day, it was a couple $100s. I was like, Dad, it is now $10,000 or more to have a child in a hospital. Often we're embarrassed to talk about people we've known or even incidences that we've had of not having health care coverage and how vulnerable we felt, or examinations or tests that we should have gotten that we passed up because we were afraid we couldn't afford them. Mm-hmm. I think we all need to tell our stories, because people then, I think, can really resonate and have empathy for one another.
Jen, I know that Faith in Public Life has done an awful lot of work around this issue, and you have developed partnerships with other faith-based organizations. I'd like for our listeners to know some of the specifics of the kind of work you've done on the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, it was a very exciting time because there were so many different sectors of the faith community uniting around this legislation because it was such a moral issue. And so one of the things we did during 2009, when the Tea Party started to have town halls around the country and they were eroding support for healthcare and spreading misinformation, we worked with the faith community to host a call-in with President Obama that drew 300,000 listeners and really shifted the momentum going into that fall. And then we worked with members of the faith community in six key states on the bill to make sure that those members of Congress voted for this bill. And there was a very exciting moment where Senator Nelson was on the fence about the bill. And we had organized through Interfaith Worker Justice and PICO National Network in that state to get religious leaders to come out in support of the bill. Faith in Public Life worked with them to get media coverage of their position. And we had actually pro-life and pro-choice religious leaders on the bill, and they spoke out very strongly saying, this is a pro-life bill, this is going to save lives. And that was instrumental in getting Senator Ben Nelson's vote. We know this because he turned around and featured the faith leaders that were on that letter in an ad interpreting his vote to his constituents. So I was very proud at that moment of the faith community and what we had done. In fact, I would say that this legislation probably would not have passed without the support and the hard work of the faith community.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say, because I know the work you've been doing, that you've done a masterful job in bringing together both the political activism that's needed, but also the aspect of spirituality and spiritual concern that are a part of the interfaith work that's done, and you've done both of those.
Yeah, that's been really important to us. I mean, so often we can get in the weeds of talking about, you know, the business aspect of a particular bill or some of the pragmatic aspects. But this is about who we are as a country, mm-hmm. and it's interfaith leaders that can really raise up that aspect of the many issues that we're debating today, whether that's the government shutdown or the budget plan. The budget is a moral document, and we need to be helping Americans understand that everything we do as a country needs to be viewed through a moral lens, especially if we're to preserve the kind of democracy that we want to have here in America.
A lot of people say to me, and I'm sure to you, your institutions, your agencies can have an important influence here. But back where we live, we're not sure what we ought to be doing. What should people who support this act be doing in relation not just to convincing their neighbors about it, but in speaking to political leaders about it?
Well, it's very important right now to make sure that the aspect of the American Care Act that is Medicaid expansion goes through. Medicaid expansion is a piece of the legislation that calls for the expansion of Medicaid to not just cover the very poor, but to cover the working poor, people who work for a living but still can't afford what health care will cost. And so far, 25 states have accepted that program and are receiving federal dollars to get that program going, but 25 states are actually still opposing or debating this, which means that a good segment of the population would go uncovered and it would make it much, much harder to implement this very important piece of legislation. And so right now, for example, in Ohio, faith leaders there spoke very strongly to the moral aspect of implementing Medicaid expansion. And Governor Kasich actually spoke, and he's a Republican governor, he spoke on moral terms about this. He actually stood in opposition to many in his party, accepted Medicaid expansion, has fought for it. They recently scored a big victory in that state. And he has spoken about it in Christian terms, saying, this is the moral thing to do. I'm called to be my brother and my sister's keeper. And so the faith community has stood in support of him and really encouraged him as he's taken this very courageous stand against members of his own party. But there are other states where we need to work hard to protect Medicaid expansion and to make that happen. And those are states like Texas and Georgia and Alabama and Idaho and Utah. And so if you're in one of those states, and you can just Google that, you should give us a call at Faith and Public Life. We'd be happy to help you write opinion pieces, to help do press conferences with religious leaders, because what it comes down to is this is a moral issue. We are called as people of faith to protect the most vulnerable of society, and if we're not doing that, we're not following our faith traditions.
The Reverend Jennifer Butler is the founding CEO of Faith in Public Life, a strategy center for the faith community, advancing faith in the public square as a powerful force for justice, compassion, and the common good. And Jen, you have given us absolutely superb information and good guidance for people wanting to be more active in this. It's what Faith in Public Life does so well, and I thank you for taking time to be with us today talking about this issue here on State of Belief Radio.
Well, thank you.